Monster. Have you ever done the right thing but received a punishment instead of a reward? And you could certainly relate to Jew remain strong in his faith even when life was unfair. Here's David with the conclusion of his message, Joseph and the New Morality.
And I want to thank you for joining us for good. The life of this man is recorded for us beginning in the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis, almost to the very end of the book. And it is one of the most incredible, under so much pressure and experienced so much difficulty, and yet he never lost sight of the sovereign plan of God in his life. I've always been so encouraged to study his life. One of my favorite people.
Joseph, when he did right. Do we only do right because the end justifies our doing right? If that is true, then what Joseph did, everything you would expect to happen, didn't turn out. This is the second time this has happened to this boy. He did right when it came to being obedient to. He was thrown in a pit, sold as a slave, and carted off to Egypt. Now he's been in Egypt 10 years. He stands the tremendous, powerful test of Potiphar's wife, and where it is, now he's thrown in prison. Now, certainly, you have to understand that if our ethics are only based on good intentions and right to him, and he's in prison. Of course, we need to learn that God's way of ethics is that we do right because it's right to do right. If we do it, good will come, but because God tells us to do it and we are his obedient children. Sometimes when we're in stewardship month, out of the desire of good things to happen to them, I do personally believe that when we are good stewards, God blesses us. But we need to be good stewards of the children. We're supposed to be obedient to him. And that's just as plain and simple as the Word of God can say it. Obedience for the Christian is not in view of the results, but morality that has grown up in your generation and in mine. There are absolutes. And if ever there was a time when those absolutes need to be pounded into our minds, is that he is thrown in jail. You might think that's really terrible that Joseph was thrown in jail. But the fact is, as you study the background of the story, for such a crime as Joseph supposedly committed would have been torture followed by death. But Potiphar put Joseph in prison in seeing that Potiphar's wrath was great and his anger was kindled hot. It is very careful not to tell us violating a man's wife were quite severe. Death, not simply imprisonment, was more in keeping with the case in which Joseph had allegedly tried to rape the woman. Now let me just, the chief what? Executioner. He didn't even have to go ask anybody, is it all right for me to take Joseph's head from his body? Two more years, you'll find that in the first verse of chapter 41. For you see, it seems as if immediate reinstatement was possibly out of the question on the assumption talking about it and it cooled down and then he could let him out. As soon as he's put into this prison where apparently there were quite a number of other prisoners, as we saw in the story, in prison, he rises to the top wherever you put the guy. No matter what happens, what situation you're in, you put him with a bunch of thieves, he'll be in charge of them. You put him, had violated Potiphar's wife, is running Potiphar's prison. Now what does all that mean? I'm going to tell you what it means. Potiphar knew a whole lot more about his wife than we get. He wasn't going to snuff out Joseph because his wife had created and fabricated a story. And so that is a very great testimony to how God protected Joseph, even in the sense of who he was and the knowledge of what she had said was spread all over the kingdom. He had to put Joseph out of sight so that he wouldn't be embarrassed by his wicked eye. And turn over to Psalm 105 and verse 18. By the way, this whole section in Psalm 105 is like a review of Joseph's life in a few verses. And in the land, he destroyed all the provision of bread. And he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. Now watch this. They hurt his feet with feet. He actually put him in leg irons and put him in fetters, and there he was in prison. But I want you to know he got out of that, and I can tell you for sure how I know he got out, because you can't run the prison if you're bound in chains. And what is this chapter? And as we kind of review everything that we've learned, we learn some very basic lessons. The thing that we learn from the 39th chapter, there are four or five applications that I want you to get a hold of. The first principle that comes out of the total chapter is this. Prosperity is not a factor of circumstances, but a factor of a prosperous and successful man. Where was he? What was he doing? What was his occupation? He was a slave. You know, we have the idea as Americans that prosperity involves money, materialism, and all of the things that came along later in Joseph's life. But prosperity in the eyes of God means we can have the assurance of God that all things work together for good. Even our misfortunes, even our heartbreaks, even our suffering are for our good to be done. But what we would ourselves, if we could see through all events or things as well as he does. Let me say that again. Would not do if we could see life from God's perspective. If we could see everything that God sees, the scripture says we would do exactly what God does, because he sees the end from the beginning and how everything factor of circumstances, but a factor of character. When the Bible says Joseph was prosperous, it has really very little to do with how much he had. It has everything to do of how much of him circumstance. Isn't that interesting? With his brothers, he's prosperous. As a slave, he's prosperous. Put him in prison, he's prosperous again. Perspective comes from seeing God in every circumstance. That's how we get perspective on life. I want you to take your Bibles and let me show you something in and kind of write in your Bible and underline these passages. First of all, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. 5. And so it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. But the Lord was with Joseph. Now he's in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Verse 23. And the keeper of prison did not look unto anything as that wherever you go, he goes with you. Isn't that a thrilling thought? Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere, any scripture promises that he is with you. Lo, I am with you even unto the end of the earth. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you through the fire and through the water. I am with you. I have promised money pressure. He doesn't have any problems. He's living over there in Canaanite territory. And finally, as you know, joy in the good life. But the Lord isn't with Judah, because Judah's out of fellowship with God. Judah doesn't have any commitment to God at all. There's no ever God. Where would you rather be? You say, Pastor, do I have to make a choice? No. You don't have to make a choice right now, but I'll tell you something. You just make sure you're with God, and wherever you go. Boy, I'm sure glad I didn't get sold into slavery like Joseph, that poor kid. If he could only have seen how God was blessing Joseph. It's like the disciples out on the sea, safer in a storm with Jesus in the boat than it is on shore without him. And one of the principles that comes out of the 39th chapter that has so blessed my life as I've studied it is this. Told them, but God, somehow in the midst of this, you're here and you're with me, and I'm going to find you in this situation and see how this is supposed to relate to my future. We haven't done anything wrong, but God, I'm not going to be bitter and I'm not going to be angry, but in the midst of this circumstance, I'm going to see you. And I'm going to find perspective because I know you're with me. Joseph's experience as overseer in the house of Potiphar and his later tour of duty as the head of the king's prison. Well, I'm going to give you some free. First, you run Potiphar's house and you prove you can do that, and then I'll put you in postgraduate school. And I'll tell you something, I don't know much about prison life, but if you can run a prison, you can run anything. And now Joseph was prepared. The next thing we see is we study the chapter and stored away during the 7 lean years, which only Joseph could have known about because God told him. And he's had all this experience. You know, sometimes when you're going through problems, especially when you're young, you wonder, what in the world is this all about? When I graduated from seminary and then spent 2 years in a church as an associate, and then we went to Fort Wayne to start the church, I remember when we started that church, some of you don't know that our church started in a trailer, in a mobile home, And I remember the first two or three nights we went there, after we'd been there, we had the first Sunday and the first night, we had 32 in church. And that was every family that was a part of the nucleus and all their children and I think a couple of neighbors. And I came home that night so discouraged. I said, Lord, is this what 8 years of training is all about? Preaching to 32 people in a mobile home. And I was discouraged. And those years that I spent there, as I look back on them now, God was just giving me every problem He could think of to give me. Because He knew that was the only way I could get ready for this place. And I look back on that training and, you know, I thank God for it. I do indeed. Present problems are often preparation for future positions. And who knows what God is preparing any of us for right now and the things He's allowing us to experience. God wants us to be men and women who have been steeled against the temptations of life by giving us some hardness to develop our spiritual muscles. And that's what He's doing with Joseph. Can you see it? All these things God's letting happen in Joseph's life, they're just sort of like preparation because God has told him in his dreams, well, you got some great things ahead of you, Joseph, but you're not ready for them yet. You got to go to school first and learn some hard lessons. Righteousness is not always immediately rewarded. Righteousness is not always immediately rewarded. Joseph did right, he was thrown in a pit. He did right again, and he was put in prison. But God was still in charge, and Joseph was yet to see the glory of God in his own life. Sometimes part of the preparation for greatness is the ability to refrain from bitterness when you are not rewarded promptly for your righteousness. Isn't that true? Could I say that again? Sometimes the training for greatness is the ability to refrain from bitterness when you are not rewarded promptly for your righteousness. Peter has something to say about that in the book that bears his name. He says, you know, if you suffer for things you do wrong, I mean, even the world can do that. If your suffering is due to the fact that you've done wrong and you're being punished for it, that's no big deal. But if you do right and you still suffer, in fact that you've done right doesn't make any difference and you're still suffering, then you can illustrate for all the watching world that there is reality in your life. And what a testimony it is to our world today when people see us doing right and maybe we still don't have enough money and maybe we still can't meet the problems and people say, good night, man, if I believed in God the way you believe in God, I'd be poor. How can you go on believing in God and doing right when you have all these problems? What a testimony it is to be able to stand up with courage and say to that person, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Those are the kind of men God needs to change the world. Men who aren't looking for the easy road, who are not waiting for all the good things to happen, but are so convinced of the will of God and the word of God, they're going to do right because it's right to do right. No wonder God blessed Joseph. What a courageous saint, and what a tremendous illustration for all of us.
Amen. Well, tomorrow here on Turning Point, we get to the 40th chapter of Genesis, and here's one of my favorite messages in the Bible. It's called The Advantages of Adversity. If you happen to be somebody who's going through adversity right now, you need to be sure and listen tomorrow. We're going to learn how God uses adversity in our lives for an advantage as we study the life of Joseph and what happened to him. And we will take the opportunity to talk about this on Tuesday, tomorrow, and on Wednesday. And you want to be sure and be with us for that study. And we'll see you right here tomorrow as we continue our discussion on the life of Joseph.
This is Mark Larson. Join us tomorrow as we continue the series, Joseph, God Meant It for Good, on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.